Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I shall receive. I said I wanted to hear from you guys, and you guys have blessed me with that. I appreciate you guys. The rest of you guys weigh in, 800-636-1067. Right now, I want to go to my man, Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, Reese?
What's going on with you?
Oh, man, you know, just doing errands, man, doing errands this time of night. But I just want to check in on that Dwayne Haskins situation, man. Dwayne Haskins being a local cat, and I'm from Maryland myself, so I want Dwayne to do good. I want Dwayne to do well. You know, I'm rooting for Dwayne. But it's the bad picks. It's the bad interceptions that kills me with Dwayne.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm rooting for him as well, and it's a tough situation because last year was so potentially catastrophic for him with all of the upheaval with the front office and people, you know, saying he shouldn't have been put in games and it could have been destructive to his development and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's one thing to look at him as a rookie. He's almost starting behind the eight ball if hopefully he can forget everything that happened last year and potentially some of the bad habits. So I want to give him a lot of rope. But again, that's not what we're doing right now in 2020, you know, for better or for worse.
That's a shame, Reese.
What'd you say?
I mean, look, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, because the young guys have set the bar so high, the Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons. Remember when Troy Aikman was 1-14 with the Cowboys?
Yeah, that wouldn't be allowed to happen.
And Peyton Manning led the league in picks his first year?
Yeah.
Brett Favre in Atlanta? The list goes on of quarterbacks who have faltered their first year. But you're right. It's 2020, and it's win now, or I'm going to get somebody else.
This is the thing. The way that teams have been built with these quarterbacks on these rookie contracts and you know, you build around. It's kind of like the Seattle Seahawks model when they had Russell Wilson on the rookie contract and they had all the money spent on the defense. Yeah. And you saw it with Patrick Mahomes with all the money spent elsewhere when he was on his rookie deal. Of course, he's not now. That's kind of been the model for success. But we don't really have that kind of team where we have all of this money tied up in superstars elsewhere on the field. So we actually have the kind of team where you can be patient because ain't like we got all these all pros all over that are looking to win a chip before they retire. That's not what we got.
No, not at all, not at all. This year is a wash, man. I mean, I know nobody, no fans want to hear that, but this year is a wash. But it's not a wash because the NFC East is so terrible. Until you know Cowboys get it together, that's about it.
That's exactly where I was going next. Can we call it a wash when we tie for first place? I mean, I'm going to ask you the same question that I just asked Lap. If there's a situation later on this season where either we're tied for first, maybe a game out of first, competitive, right? Couple games left. Do you see it? But Haskins is struggling. Would you sit him down in order to try and make a run for it?
That's a tough question, man, because if you sit him down, that's a wrap for him, man. His confidence is shattered. He feels like he's a clipboard guy from here on out, like a James Winston maybe. I'm not sure, man. if you believe in this kid wholeheartedly, but you got to show progression, not perfection. You got to show progression. And I can't keep him on the field if he has them poor picks like he did. I don't think Ron can either. When you throwing picks to the team like he was and getting them happy feet, I got to go somewhere else because you're not being a professional then. Like my man said, you're not doing your job. You know, so if you're not doing your job, I got to pull you, man.
All right, before you go, scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of hatred for the Ravens?
What's my level of love for the Ravens?
Yeah, your level of hatred for the Ravens.
Oh, you know what? It was a lot higher. It was a lot higher, but because Ozzie Newsome has made the Ravens almost so likable. Because I mean, who can't root for Lamar Jackson a little? I mean, call me. My number one team is my fantasy team, you know. But I'm trying, you know, I was a Cowboys fan at one point, you know, but Jerry Jones is such a special person, man, Trump guy, that I can't, you know. But the Ravens are hard not to root against because you like Lamar, you know. You like those players. You like Ozzie Newsome. You know, Harbaugh is what he is, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like 5, yo. I mean, I don't like Baltimore, the place. You know what I'm saying? The people, hey, God bless them. But other than that, it's hard to hate on that team, man.
You said, God bless them. Somebody got to live there. Hey, man, I appreciate you for weighing in, Ed. Get at me tomorrow. I'm on 6:30 to 8 tomorrow as well. All right, Ed. Now I want to send it over to Taylor. Taylor, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? How you doing today?
Hey, I'm feeling good as I can in between Washington football games, man.
Oh, trust me, I fully understand that. So I'm gonna go ahead and dive right on into it, right? To touch base on my man's point last, yeah, I like, for lack of a better word, this season is a wash. So even if we get to a point where we are competing for first place and we have a chance for the division, I'm not sitting Haskins down because we don't have the team or even the pieces around to make a deep push. So, you know, you're going to get everybody excited. You're going to ruin this boy's confidence, you know, or whatever type of detrimental setback that you're going to come across with this. For what? Maybe extra money in the bank, you know, one extra game. You know, the main thing is, like I said, seeing what you have in him, taking a good look at the team you have right now, and really just evaluating it. You know, what do we need up front? We got to take care of, you know, Jerrod Christensen, pretty much that whole left-hand side. You know, you got to touch base on that. What other weapons do we have? Are these running backs going to be, you know, worth it in the next couple of years or whatever? I really, really like what I'm seeing out of, what's his name, Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
Number 20. I really like what I'm seeing out of Gibson. But like I said, let him go in there. I'm hoping what Ron does with this tape of this last game is put Haskins in there and let him see just how terrible he was. You know, let him see how far he got really, really bad into it. Like, look, man, this is when you're trying to do too much. You know, this is when you need to, like, really just settle down, focus, and focus on fundamentals, because you're not going to get this back right here. This right here, this is what we don't want to see again, right? This is what we need to improve on. But let him have this whole year. Let this year just be what it is, which is essentially, in my mind, one big preseason. That's how I look at it. I'm not looking at the record. I'm not looking for any type of playoffs or nothing like that. I'm looking to see if this real young team we have, this coach that we have, these new pieces we have in both the front office and all over the place can gel together and make something happen, you know, because –
Hey, Taylor, I'm not mad at you. I actually agree with that. I agree with what you said, because even if we were able to win the NFC East, let's be honest, whoever wins the NFC East is going to get 30 when they make it to the playoffs.
Because the Cowboys are coming back. You know, Philly's going to bounce back. Those people you're going to see next year, and they're going to be ready to roll when everything gets back to what it's supposed to be in the football world. You know, do we have the pieces to at least start stepping on those guys' toes and punching them in the mouth? You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Taylor, I appreciate you weighing in, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Get at me tomorrow. I'm on 6:30 to 8. I'll be rocking my man Vic tomorrow as well. But coming up right now, my man Troy Halliburton. For everybody standing in line outside of Capital One Arena, he'll tell you exactly what tickets to punch. Ahmed, I see you. I'm going to get at you after the break. You guys can weigh in like he did too. 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know him from his frequent appearances with me here on 106.7 The Fan. You also know him from the Action Network, podcasting. He's all over the place. My man, Troy Halliburton. What's going on, my friend? Welcome to the NBA Finals.
How you doing today, man? I'm glad to be here checking in with the NBA Finals, man. It's an exciting time. I know you're super happy based off of your Lakers being in the last dance.
Hey, I got my Magic purple jersey on right now. You can check that photo out. I'll throw it online. Let's get right into it, man. It looks like the Lakers are giving 4.5. The money line is sitting at -191, the over-under at 217.5. How do you like these lines for game one?
You know what? I like the Lakers with the money line, but I don't like that 4.5 points. So if there are Lakers backers out there, I feel like they should jump on the Lakers with the money line. And because LeBron has kind of struggled in game ones of NBA finals. I mean, hell, he's been there 10 times in his career. So he has a track record. He's 2-8 in his game one appearances in the NBA finals. So I wouldn't expect for him to come out and being that dominant player that he normally is. I would expect the Lakers to probably win the game, but maybe not cover that 4.5 points.
That's interesting. He's 2-8, but he hasn't often had the favored team. He did when he had the Heat with the Heat a couple of times, but often he's been overmatched going up against the Warriors and you know, the Spurs back in the day and whatnot. So that 2-8 is somewhat misleading. But I hear you about that, taking them on the money line. How do you feel about the series in general? And how much peril do you think my purple and gold are in right now?
Well, if you look at a lot of the statistical analysis bases out there, like, there is a lot of people that think that the Miami Heat are favored to win this series. You know, that they have been playing the best in the bubble. And since they made that trade to get Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder at the trade deadline, you know, they've been playing very exceptional basketball, proven with how they ran through the Eastern Conference playoff. But I still think that LeBron has his eye on the prize and that he is going to come through. So I think that it's going to be a very, very hard-fought series. But I would say the Lakers would probably win it in 7.
Man, you trusting Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder to keep making threes? Go ahead, man. I got a bridge to sell you.
Hey, it's not about having a bridge. Andre Iguodala is the type of guy where he knows what his end game is. He's been saving up all that old man energy, all that old man strength for that last hurrah. And he's been going up against LeBron for about 6 of those finals, 4-5 of those finals appearances. So he's very much well-versed on what to expect from LeBron James.
Now, are there any props, over-under, point totals, rebounding, anything like that that you're looking at from this series also?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the LeBron, I actually think that it's a great series odd bet. If you really believe in the Lakers, there is a 15-1 proposition that the Lakers will finish in 6 games. I think that is, so there has to be exactly 6 games. So I think that that's a very good proposition. I would also take a gander at the Anthony Davis MVP, Finals MVP odds. So I think that while LeBron James is the focal point of the Lakers offensive attack, I believe that Anthony Davis, he may be having his coming out party and be proving that, you know, that LeBron may finally be playing Robin to somebody else. So those Anthony Davis Finals MVP odds is something that I might look at as a better.
Now, what are the odds on the Heat players for MVP? Because it's not like, I mean, Jimmy Butler, I guess, is the biggest name, but you know, Tyler Hero and Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo were every bit as big a part of them getting to this point as Butler has been. Any one of them could potentially be the, or even Duncan Robinson if he gets hot, any one of them could potentially be the MVP of the finals. So what do their odds look like?
Well, you know what? The Miami Heat players are looking at a much more drastic long shot of odds. Let me see. Right now we're looking at let's see. I got them pulled up right now. So we have Bam Adebayo at 9-1 odds, Goran Dragic at 30-1 odds, and Tyler Hero at 35-1 odds. Now, I would say, looking at it, Bam Adebayo has been low-key the Miami Heat's best player. And I know that Jimmy Butler made a big deal with him signing his max contract and as a free agent last summer and going to Miami. But low-key, Bam Adebayo has been their best player. And at 9-1 odds, if the Heat are to win a series, I think that there is a great value play in putting, you know, say $100 on Bam Adebayo and walking away with $1,000.
Ah, okay. All right. I like it. I like that a lot. Now, going into next season, right, obviously everybody, you know, has the odds that are going to go up pretty much immediately after this season ends. Who do you like going into next season? Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, Boston will be better. I'm assuming Milwaukee will be better. I'm assuming the Clippers aren't going to melt down the way that they have been. Denver's going to have a lot more confidence. And, oh, yeah, that team in Brooklyn that didn't have any of their players this season.
You know what's crazy about this, Reese? The team that – the dark horse team that I believe for next year's NBA Finals that I think that you can be getting great odds on for right now is the Golden State Warriors, the team that's been in the NBA Finals for the last five seasons. They're going to be bringing back Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and they also have the number two pick in the draft, and they just pulled off a sign-and-trade for Andrew Wiggins. And using – I don't know how much anybody else out there believes in Andrew Wiggins, but either they're going to be able to assimilate him into their Golden State championship culture, or they'll use his contract plus that draft pick and trade it and try to get another superstar and not reload but retool and be a team that will be very much formidable for next year.
Now, speaking of next year, I saw LaMelo was trending and basically people fawning over LaMelo Ball and whether or not he could potentially go number one over Anthony Edwards. Do you think that's possible? And does that have any possible ramifications for our Washington Wizards? Does that mean somebody might be able to drop to us? Or is that wishful thinking?
You know what? I don't think that it is wishful thinking to think that LaMelo Ball could drop to number nine. He is such a enigma as a NBA draft prospect that I think that I don't think that there's any way that he's going to go as the number one pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I do believe that he is very much going to fall within that 4 to 10 range. And, you know, the Wizards might luck up. And you know, Wizards GM Tommy Shepard already said that, you know, he likes 10 to 11 players very much so already on this draft board. And so they're picking number nine. So that guarantees that the Wizards are going to get a player that they value very high on their draft board. That could be LaMelo Ball. It could be James Wiseman. It could be Obi Toppin. I think that there's so much uncertainty at the top of this draft that there are going to be a lot of players that people perceive to be maybe, you know, top five picks that will fall to the Wizards. So, you know, hopefully we have to trust that, you know, Tommy Shepard is going to make the good decision like he did last year when he picked Rui Hachimura. Everybody said that was a bad pick, and he ended up making second team all rookie this year.
Now, look, I ask you this every time, every week, and people are like, hey, why are you always trying to trade Bradley Beal? It's not. I love Bradley Beal. He has been a credit to the city. I love how he's spoken out in the offseason. It's just we don't have a ton of assets that people want. So we talk about wheeling and dealing. Really, it starts and ends with Bradley Beal. But I'm asking because of this scenario, you have the Bucks who melted down and needed to shake things up and clearly need some more offensive punch. We got Brooklyn, who's going to be looking for a third star. We got Houston, who you know is always trying to wheel and deal. I don't know if they have a lot of assets after the trades that they've made. You have the Clippers, who really are all in on next year. They don't have any draft picks to give, but they may be able to unload the cupboard. You have a lot of teams that are going to go into next year really win or bust. And from our standpoint, those are opportunities that you take advantage of because that's when teams overpay. Do you see a potential scenario whereby we might be able to get a haul for Brad?
I don't think that that is on the table right now because I honestly believe that what Ted Leonsis and Tommy Shepard and the leadership of Monumental Basketball, what they plan on doing is they're very much dead set on reuniting Bradley Beal and John Wall and making another run at it. This team that was, you know, the Wiz kids that excited the NBA for the last, pretty much 3 or 4 years ago, I think that they are dead set on running that situation back as opposed to trading Bradley Beal. And so it would take an absolute king's ransom. You know, if Houston decides they want to pivot from James Harden and, you know, that he's on the table, then maybe. But other than that, I think that the Wizards are dead set on running it back for another year, seeing what they can do with a season of a healthy Bradley Beal and a healthy John Wall, and then maybe evaluating it next summer because we got to remember that Brad signed a contract extension before last season. So he made himself pretty much more of a trade asset because there are, you know, 3 years at the bare minimum left on his deal. So, you know, the Wizards can see what they have and reevaluate the situation next summer.
All right. So at the end of the day, you're saying Lakers in seven.
I think Lakers in seven. I think that it's going to be
close. That means you don't really believe it. If it's in seven, you don't believe it, Troy.
No, I'm telling you this right now. There are a lot of stats and numbers out there that say that the Miami Heat are a very formidable opponent to be playing up against the Lakers right now. So one of the things that I think Miami excelled at was playing the zone defense coming into the last couple of rounds where they zoned up against Milwaukee and zoned up against the Boston Celtics. And so there's no reason to think that they won't play a similar zone defense against the Lakers. And the Lakers going up against the Miami Heat, they scored on 0.975 points per possession. And against all other teams, against all other zones, they only score 1.1 points per possession. And both of those numbers are very much below the league average. Like on a good basis, you would want a good offensive team to be scoring more like 1.5 points per possession. So, you know, every time they come down the court against the zone defense, they're not getting any buckets. So I honestly believe with the Miami Heat, the Heat culture, I know everybody keeps talking about it, but it's a real tangible thing that you have when you have the front office and the coaching staff and the players all working in concert to build something that is special. That's how they were able to go from the number 10 seed last year in the Eastern Conference and this year being in the NBA Finals. Well, so it's not me hating on the Lakers. It's me believing in Miami and what they have been able to prove on paper.
Hey, that's what I would do. Hey, take it from a supporter. They ain't a backboard that Danny Green and KCP and Kyle Kuzma from three can't tear down with these bricks. So I ain't mad at the Heat. That is a very good strategy to employ. Hey, man, what do you have coming up? Where can the people find you?
They can always find me on the Locked On Wizards podcast and on the Action Network. We've been giving the people great content. Shout out to Matt Moore, HP Basketball on Twitter. He's really the godfather of Action Network, and he's been giving out, you know, he's been schooling me into a lot of this gambling game. And I think that the sports betting landscape is getting you see the lines out there at Capital One Arena. You know what the people in D.C. feel. How they feel about the sports betting landscape right now.
All right, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us.
All right, now, Reese.
All right, that's Troy Halliburton. Make sure you get at him on the Action Network and the Lockdown Wizards podcast. Coming up next, I know the phone lines are jammed. I'm coming at you, 800-636-1067. Special guest we got on the line. Stay tuned. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guys, for rocking with me so far. You can hit me back tomorrow, same time, 6:30 to 8. But you guys been sitting on the line all patient, so hey man, I will leave no caller unturned. Let's start with Ahmed. Ahmed, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, brother? First and foremost, I want to congratulate you on your wedding. I ask God to bless you and your family, and hope the best for you and protection for you.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, so I want to talk to you about Dwayne. Do you think Dwayne is becoming like Jason Campbell 2.0, you know, where he showed some of the promises of being like a really good quarterback, but then also, you know, got the games where he throws it away?
That's interesting. I mean, at this point in his development, I certainly see the comparison, but we, you know, we obviously drafted him at that point thinking that the ceiling was much higher. And I feel like if the level of play we consistently get isn't significantly above that, I don't see how we can rock with that as long as we did with Jason Campbell.
Yeah. Cause we rocked with that for a minute.
We did. We most certainly did. Speaking of the Ravens and having to look side-eyed at that other team. Yeah. The Jason Campbell era. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, what is your level of hatred for the Ravens right now from a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't hate on the Ravens at all. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're in the AFC, Ravens. It's just like, you know, I respect them, and that's about it.
All right, fair enough. You know what?
I'm
not mad at that. You know, that's like a lot of us who grew up when there was no Ravens. I didn't have that natural hatred, so I tend to agree with you. Thanks for weighing in, Ahmed. I appreciate it. All right, I want to go to Vic. Vic, what's going on, my friend?
What's up now, brother?
What's going on, Vic? What's on your mind?
I'm all right. I'm all right. So I'll get right to it. I know all week we've been hearing all over the radio, national analysts and sports syndicates about what Dwayne Haskins is not. And we know, specifically, he doesn't process that fast. He becomes overzealous. Basically, it's athletic insecurity when he makes mistakes. So that's why he looks down receivers at those interceptions. And it's only a matter of time, you know, that you will be able to, as a coach and as a professional with integrity to the game, be able to let him play like that and not make a change. So that's understandable. What I want to talk about is the defense. Now, where in the rule book does it say, if you turn the ball over, even if it's in the other team's territory, at the 40, maybe the 50, 35, what have you, that you have to give up touchdowns. There's nowhere in the rule book where it says that. And I know everybody's been, you know, just singing the Montez Sweat's praises. But if you go back and watch film, Montez Sweat had some very big splash plays. But because he had those splash plays, it made him overconfident. And he started getting upfield and slicing interior line. And when he was doing that, they were able to reach him and set the edge on him and run outside zone several times. This is when Nick Chubb started running off big chunks of yards. In the first half, Cooper, or I think his name, the tight end for the Browns, kept getting out, catching out routes in the flats. He was getting a little bit of depth on him. And every time, you could see the Redskins were in a cover three. And I think Xavier Monroe is number 20, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Jimmy Moreland, but I think it's – I just know it's number 20. He was supposed to sink with his eyes and get to the flats right away. But instead, he has his eyes in the backfield or eyes of the receiver that's crossing his face. So he's not getting to the flat really quickly. On 3rd and 12, when we blitzed, Jeff Bostic was supposed to sink because the blitz came through the A-gap. It came up the middle of the field. It came from the right edge, just inside of the Montez Sweat, just outside of the Montez Sweat. And Jeff Bostic is supposed to sink because it's a three-step. So instead of sinking, he stays there and looks in front of him like, so what's coming? I don't know what's coming. And they throw the pass right behind his head, which forces the safety to have to come down and try to make the play from 8 to 10 yards away.
Hey, man,
this is fundamental football. This is fundamental football. And this has to get fixed, Jack Del Rio. If I can see this, and I'm not Bill Belichick, I'm not Dick LeBeau, but I'm watching football, and I see it, and I understand it. Why don't you see? I need you to fix this and fix it now. Because we should not be giving up 21 unanswered points off turnovers. We should be giving up some field goals, get some turnovers, get some three and outs, something. But this is ridiculous. And this is just as much as the fact that we lost the game or what the defense did not do in situational football just as much as Dwayne Haskins.
All right. Now, is there a YouTube video where I can see all of this?
No, I watched the game. I'm a football coach. I know what I'm talking about. You put me in a room with Bill Belichick. You put me in a room with Jack Del Rio. I can hold my own. I promise you I can.
I know, but I'm saying if you're going to draw all this up, I need to see all this. I need video if you're going to get this detail with it.
You need to make a YouTube video. You give me the Redskins game set. I will show you the video. I promise you I will. Man, I'll come on your show next time. We can do film. We can have Sean Reese film breakdown with Vic. I guarantee you it'll be Sean.
All right. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
No problem.
Film breakdown with Vic. Coming soon. Coming soon to the radio. All right. Coming right now to the radio, very special guest, friend of mine, news anchor, one of my former compadres over at Get Up DC, my man Gio Insignares. What is going on, my friend?
Reese, how are you? Congrats, by the way. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Thank you, man. Same here. I assume that you're calling to apologize to Nick Foles and his family on behalf of the city of Philadelphia. One of the things that you guys may not know, Gio was our resident Eagles fan. Go ahead, have at it.
Listen, we love Nick Foles more than anybody and definitely more than Carson Wentz at the moment. There's no need to apologize and there's no need to say thank you because there is a statue of Nick Foles erected right outside the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. So
is it really?
Well. The only thing... There is, yeah. Last time I was up in Philly, there's the Philly special statue with him and Doug Peterson calling the play.
No wonder Carson Wentz went into the tank. You have his backup who came in and won the Super Bowl enshrined outside of the facility.
I'll send you a picture I took of myself right in front of that statue last time I was there. But, hey, listen, what's great about us all complaining on the phone lines about our respective teams within this division is that we're all complaining while still being within a half game of first place and none of us having a winning record.
Well, you know what's relevant about that is a lot of people were defending Doug Peterson's decision to punt with the opportunity to go for it on 4th and 12 or to kick a 60-some-odd-yard field goal to beat the Bengals. A lot of people defended that decision on the basis of the division being so bad that you know you just kind of need to tread water, understanding that your team isn't playing very well until you could turn it around, which is not unlike this conversation I've been having about Dwayne Haskins and whether or not, you know, we went into the season saying he's the starter come hell or high water, but if you actually find yourself being competitive, that may change your approach.
Right, because it's almost like the Miami Heat, and we could touch on that a little bit later because they're the only positive ray of sunshine I have in my sports life right now. But when you're about a year or two ahead of schedule or when you see that the promised land is perhaps a little bit closer than you originally planned, it almost feels like you're wasting your opportunity if you're not going for it in that moment. So I certainly understand the frustration with people calling in and saying Dwayne Haskins needs to play better because you're already there and you have a decent defense or at least a decent enough defense to be able to win games in this division because nobody seems to want to win this division right now.
No, and, I look at Dallas and I'm like, you're going to win this division. I'm looking at them lose games, and I'm just like, knowing that they're going to win. It's disgusting. It's bad. It's bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
How resigned is the Eagles fan base to your fate right now, or do you actually feel like you can turn this around? And where is Carson Wentz right now in terms of security?
I would say that watching the Philadelphia Eagles play football right now is about as frustrating, anxiety-inducing, and stomach-churning as what it felt like watching the presidential debate for all of us last night. That's part one. Part two is, because the division is so bad, as aforementioned said, there is hope, I would say, that they can turn it around. The downside is that the next three games, they're playing San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. So they could theoretically be 0-5-1, and who knows, they could still be within a game and a half of first place in the division. So we'll see on that front. But when it comes to Carson Wentz, this is a stat I would pull out for you if we were together on mornings recently. I saw a tweet, and I'm forgetting who to attribute it to, but they said if Russell Wilson threw an interception on his next 46 throws, he could throw 46 interceptions in his next 46 throws, he would still have a higher passer rating than Carson Wentz right now. That's how bad he's playing at the moment.
Wow. That's insane.
It's really, really... it's really bad. And when you I don't want to pull the Vic card here, but if you go back and watch the film of Carson Wentz, he's missing open throws. It looks like a bad case of the yips, and I'm not sure if it can be fixed, but you have no choice because you're paying the guy upwards of $150 million with that contract extension. So there's every opportunity to go ahead and just give it to him, because we can all pray for the backup, and you know everybody's favorite position is a backup quarterback as a fan, but it's not going to get any better if you put, you know, someone like Jalen Hurts in there. You just got to ride it with the guy who looked like an MVP candidate 3 years ago.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts just sitting on the sideline drinking his Gatorade like Kermit with the tea. Like, this is none of my business. Before we go,
he
real quick.
Good in that uniform. I'll give him that.
He did. Before we go, yeah. The Miami Heat, do you think that they can pull this off starting tonight?
I think they can pull it off. I will say that they've already exceeded all expectations, so I'm kind of riding this series pure joy, regardless of the outcome. And you know how big of a LeBron supporter I am. They can pull it off because they haven't quite shot red hot in recent games that I think they're capable of. So we know LeBron and Anthony Davis are by far and away the best two players on the floor, but you could easily make the case that the Heat have the next best 5 to 6 players. And I think that's where the difference comes in, and whether or not that guard play from Hero, from Robinson, from Dragic, if they can overcome a little bit of that LeBron AD matchup down low, then we're going to be in for a nice tight series all the way through. So it's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're a really likable team once I get past the fact of knowing that Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are like young 20-year-old dudes in Miami right now that play for the Heat. Like, once I get past my imagination of what their life is like, they're a fun team that you can root for.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
All right, man. I appreciate you for rocking with me. I'm on tomorrow at 6:30 if you want to get back at me. Where can the people find you right now?
Right now, just hit me up on Twitter. We can talk sports and movies. I just got done watching a movie before I gave you a call. So that's @Gio_Insignares.
All right, man. You need to get a movie podcast like Stat.
Hey, I'm up for it. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Gio. Thanks to Vic and Ahmed and Lap and everybody who rocked with me today. I appreciate you guys. And thanks to Vic in the studio, man, on the ones and twos. You redeemed yourself after that horrific take about Smashing Pumpkins. Any final words you want to offer to all my other Nirvana fans out there that still blame you?
Smashing Pumpkins is better.
All right, to be continued. Make sure you get at me at Reese Waters on all my social media platforms. Get up DC every weekday morning at 6 a.m. I'm Reese. I'll see you tomorrow at 6:30.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.